Welcome back to the 210 Feet Podcast. My name is Colin Manning. I'm once again joined by my co-host, Robbie Knight. And sorry, we've been taking kind of an extended break. We've both been really busy getting prepped for the school year, sports, all sorts of stuff, and work. And yeah, so how are you doing, Robbie?
I'm doing as well as I can. I spent a week in Philadelphia recently, which was a party. Over at Villanova University, I have watched some subpar soccer by a couple of my favorite teams. Seattle struggling. Manchester United is a mess. Barca can't figure out how to count 10. But Leeds won. It was good.
Exactly.
It was a solid day. And so
Aaronson's goal should have counted for Aaronson.
It should have. It really should have.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we're going to kind of this today. Premier League has started. So we're going to kind of go over and talk about some Americans in the throughout the Premier League and in Europe and all throughout European soccer and just kind of some stuff like that. So to get things started off, I kind of want to talk about Leeds, because Leeds has kind of become almost quote unquote America's team in the Premier League with Jesse Marsh as head coach and Tyler Adams and Brendan Aaronson. What are your thoughts on Leeds and what are you excited to watch this season? And like, how do you think they'll finish?
I think, just based off of just jumping to a conclusion after week one, I think that Manchester United is getting relegated and I think Leeds is going to be champions. I will say, in all seriousness, they played a really good game against Wolves. I watched most of the second half and then later watched part of the first. And Brendan Aaronson from the first, from kickoff, looked like he belonged. He looked very solid in his role. He basically got a goal contribution. He made both of Leeds' two goals happen. Their first goal off of pressing in their attacking box, and he was able to kind of create that chance by kind of tackling the ball away from the Wolves player. And then the second one technically should have been his. It was a cross in into the box. He was covered by a defender. They ruled hit off the defender's foot. But he says, and if you watch the replay, it hit off of Aaronson's shin.
And if it was in the MLS, I feel like the MLS never gives own goals, so I feel like it would have counted for Aaronson, but
I know.
Just my opinion.
I feel like it should have been an Aaronson goal, but, whatever. You can say he really, truly had a fantastic opening match. The only way it could have been better is if he, scored a hat trick, which, regulars can't be choosers. I think he really showed, how solid of a player he is. And I've seen, people jumping to conclusions like Taylor Twellman, saying that he should be a World Cup starter. And I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I think it was a solid, solid match from him, a solid match from Jesse Marsh. Tyler Adams doesn't necessarily look fully comfortable in his role yet, but I think that's just something that as you give him time, this was his first match in the Premier League. Match day one, I think by the time you get to October, he'll definitely shore up his role in this Leeds 11. But I think for both of them to just walk in, be established, first 11 players, I think it's big. I think Leeds looked really good, able to, grind out the win against Wolves in a match that was, they had to come back from one down. And so I think that is really intriguing to me. And I think just shows that, this Leeds team, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near the relegation zone this year like they were last year.
Yeah, I think that, obviously, still first game of the season, so they still have a lot to prove, and especially they have a lot to prove to Europe, and Jesse Marsh has a lot to prove to Europe. But I don't think they're going to get relegated this year. I don't think they'll be fighting for a European spot, but I think they will definitely be fighting for a top 10 spot if I think they can do that good. Just with the talent that they have, I feel like it's not – obviously, it's not Man City. It's not Tottenham. It's not an Arsenal. No. It's not even a Manchester United. But I feel like they have the fight and they have the will. And that's kind of something that shows within the U.S. men's national team, too.
I think so. And I think the argument now can kind of be, you know, where are they in that middle pack? Because everybody seems to think that, I mean, things that I've seen say, you know, who is that group behind the top six? The top six being, you know, United, City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Tottenham, and, oh my God, I'm missing one, Chelsea. It's like, gosh, I'm missing one. In that group, I mean, everybody's kind of thought Leicester's probably towards the top of that group. In the past, Everton has been near there, but I think, honestly, Everton's probably going to get relegated this season.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard's not going to make it very long. I think West Ham can be kind of towards the top of that group, but I think Leeds is kind of, yeah, around that 10th place. I think it'll be interesting to see where they are. Brighton looks really good, even though they did lose. They have sold two of their best players. They still looked really good, and now, albeit that is against a massive of a United side.
I think that
Leeds, you know, right now, to me, they're not going to be competing with like Chelsea or anything.
Yeah, for sure.
I think some people can say, you know, Chelsea could end up being seventh. They could end up being second.
Yeah.
I think that they're kind of Leeds seventh might not be out of the question. I think in all honesty, it's probably going to be more towards 11th. As things shake out, because, you know, West Ham, I think, is still really good, even though they lost by 2 to City. Any team in Europe is going to lose by 2 to City at least once. So I think they're probably right around that 10th spot. I'm really curious, though, you know, where do they line up against Brighton? Because I think Brighton is a team that surprisingly, you know, went into Old Trafford 1-2-1.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that Brighton is almost a little bit of a surprise, and I think that's a conclusion that I'm jumping to just based off of how good they looked in comparison to United. But I think that Leeds has a strong future, and I think this is big for Jesse Marsh after kind of a debacle of a start at Leipzig last year.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that. I think that they still have a lot to prove, obviously. I think that they can finish fighting. Let's just say I don't think it's going to be as close to relegation as it was last year. But I feel like Jesse Marsh is also, I feel like, almost trying to prove himself. I don't feel like he's going to be Leeds' long-term manager. I honestly think he could be the U.S.'s next manager if Greg Berhalter does not perform at this World Cup, or for the next cycle, then Greg steps down. If he does perform well at this World Cup and is interested from teams from Europe, stuff like that, you know what I mean? Yeah, so I just kind of really quickly wanted to kind of run through your predictions for the Premier League, like predicts who's going to get the European spots and who's going to get relegated, those types, like just that.
I think Man City's going to win. I think you're going to get the three-peat. Erling Haaland, I'm a Dortmund man. This is something we've established, maybe not on the pod, but you and I have established.
Yeah.
Him and Lewandowski absolutely owned the Bundesliga. And I think there were a lot of questions about, would Erling Haaland be able to come into the Premier League? It's completely different than the Bundesliga. Would he be able to come into the Premier League and just tear it up? He scored 2 goals with me yesterday.
Yeah.
He won a penalty due to contact with the goalie. He netted that penalty straight in. His second goal was one where him and De Bruyne were able to link up. I think that City team is entirely too powerful. They're entirely too OP, and it's almost unfair for the rest of the league. I think they're going to win it. I think Liverpool's going to be second. I have some questions about them. You know, they did draw 2-2 against Fulham away, but I think they'll be fine in the end. I think they are too strong. I think they'll be second. I don't think it'll be as close as last year, though.
Yeah.
I think that Liverpool might try to focus on some other things. I think beyond that, right now, I think it's probably going to be Tottenham and Arsenal.
Yeah. Well, I think
Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea. I think Chelsea's going to be in there somewhere. Maybe
those above three. Arsenal. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I honestly think Arsenal could even – I think they could finish third as well. I don't watch as much Premier League as you do. I'm going to try to start getting into it this year some more. But I think Arsenal has the talent to finish a top three even. But I think they're going to earn a European spot. And then, I don't know. It's just hard. Those three teams, fighting for those two Champions League spots. I feel like that's going to be interesting. I feel like it's Man City clear at top, Liverpool clear in second, and then those three teams fighting for those last two spots with the Europa League spot in fifth, and the Manchester United. I wouldn't be surprised if they finish like ninth this year. I don't think they're. I think they have too much talent to get relegated, and the talent is going to outweigh. Like, there's no way that Manchester United gets relegated, right? I could see.
Imagine. I feel like Manchester United getting relegated is a bigger story than Leicester winning it all.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I don't think Manchester United is going to be anywhere close to relegation. I was thinking, you know, coming into the season, everybody's like United 6th, United 7th, United 5th at best. Like, they're not going to go and surprise anybody. And I was like, oh, they're just going to casually waltz in. They're going to be 4th or something. They're much more of a mess than I thought they were. They started Christian Eriksen as a 9 because they have no idea what they're doing. They started him at a 9 over Ronaldo. And they started him there because they have nowhere in their midfield to put him because they have Bruno Fernandes, they have Fred, and they have Scott McTominay,
who
two of those people should not be in there. I think United is such a mess to me, and the fact that the biggest transfer move, and I love Christian Eriksen. This is something I've also made clear.
Eriksen,
for some reason, I love him. But I don't think is going to come in and fix all of United's problems. And if he doesn't have a position with starting 11, then why are you going to come in and give
spend
him that
all that money?
Spend all that money. There's so many other places. The fact that they have made a lack of deals to me is troubling, I think.
It's
because there is a long list of need on this squad. And I think that's something that former managers have tried to say. And it's just something that's gone under the radar. And I think that this is going to be, I originally thought, you know, 2 years, you look at by the third year of Ten Hag's reign, fighting for titles. This could be 5 years from now.
Yeah, if even that, I could see it a long ways down the road before Man United fighting for a title again. And I feel like I don't see Ronaldo in a Manchester United jersey at the end of the season. I don't know if you do. I just don't. I see him going somewhere else just to play. You know what I mean? Even before the World Cup, here's a bunch of rumors that he was going to leave Manchester United right before the season began. And then there's even – but nobody really wanted him, I guess. Like, there's fans holding up signs saying CR7 like, not welcome. And
I feel like the problem is there's too much drama in that dressing room, and there's not enough like connection. And I just,
that's important in a soccer team.
There's the pressure, absolutely. There's a pressure on this team because of what they have done for so many years. There's a pressure to just be, you know, winning title after title.
Yeah. And
this dressing room is full of, you know, some great individual talents.
Yeah, definitely. Like some of them past their prime.
Like Jadon Sancho, and you have Marcus Rashford, two very, you know, young English players.
David De Gea
can bring so much to a starting 11. David De Gea is reaching the end of his prime, but he's still strong. You have, Harry Maguire, which is interesting.
He's Harry Maguire.
He's still a solid player. He's still getting, you know, major international caps. Yeah. You have players like Cristiano Ronaldo, who was only brought in. There was no plan to bring him in. He was only brought in so that City couldn't have him. And I feel like that's just the problem, is there is no plan in this starting 11. There's such a collection of great individual talents. And then, yet there still is no real, the team still isn't good.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's interesting thing about me, because you look at a team, I might use my team as an example, Real Salt Lake, individual talent. Yeah, there's some individual talent. There's not a lot of individual talent, right? But the team is a team. Like, I've seen posts on social media and the team will go out and do stuff together outside of training, like all 30 of the guys, right? that's important in having a team. I've learned that on having my own teams as well. That's an important mm-hmm. part of soccer and having, and if any sport actually, and some of the teammates even live together in Salt Lake and things like that. So if you have a bunch of talent and you have a bunch of people who are just kind of almost cocky, you know what I mean? Who think they're the better ones. If you have all this talent, all this cockiness, then it brings everyone else in the locker room down, and it just, then you're not going to play well.
And that's why I feel like Seattle has had so much, success in MLS. We've never really brought in the flashy DP signing, like the world renowned, like our like three DPs is Rusnak, is Nicoladero, and is Raul Ruiz Diaz. The biggest signing we've ever made as a club is for Clint Dempsey. Like, we've never brought in, just say, randomly, Gareth Bale or Zlatan Ibrahimovic, like the Galaxy did a couple of years ago, which didn't lead to any titles. We've always brought in players for the team as a whole. And there's rumors going around that United's going to bring in a couple of older players. I think you just have to completely just tear down this team. You leave players like Marcus Rashford. You leave players like Jadon Sancho. But I think you just have to start fresh. If you try to keep the base of what United has been for the past 5 years, you're not going to get anywhere because this team is only getting older. I think you start fresh. And you just
don't try to fix it. You just try to start over.
It's like a house. Like, if you have problems and the wood is all rotting in the walls, you don't just like throw some more drywall on the top of it and call it good.
Exactly.
Strip it down to the foundation. That's what this team, and it's not even like the team itself. It's not even like the core guys.
It's like the culture is falling.
Entire club. It's the entire club is screwed up. Like it even goes down to the women's side. It goes down to the youth side. The stadium is a mess. The entire club is, the Glazers are not helping any sort of situation. The entire thing is messed up.
Yeah, exactly. And culture is another key part, kind of like having together as a team. You see a bunch of teams that have culture, that the fans come together. Fans want to go to the games. The fans work together as one unit. You know what I mean? That's culture. Mm-hmm. And like developing culture like that is very important in a team. But I'm just going to use this as an example because it's something I've always kind of thought of. Chicago Fire. They've brought in some big names like Zurin Shaqiri, Bastian Schweinsteiger, right? They got nowhere. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they made the playoffs. They've hardly made the playoffs. In their earlier Chicago's years, they were better. They had culture. Now they've changed their logo 3 times, changed their color 4 times.
They keep moving stadiums. They moved from Soldier Field to a new stadium. They moved from that new stadium back to Soldier Field. And I think that's what makes the sport so great, is like the fans and culture. And you look at
exactly.
In Turkey and Japan and other places throughout the UK, the fans are enshrined and the team is enshrined. South America, this is a big deal. Like with Boca Juniors and River Plate.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, the fans, the club has a connection to the community specifically, and the fans are a part of the community, and the club is the community. And it's been based off of that. And I think that you just watch, and the fans have been absolutely second class for the Glazers and for Manchester United. And this can be kind of said for other of the big clubs in England that have, you know, been bought by big teams like Arsenal, and just a second, my mom's calling me. For a second.
There it is.
Okay, everything good. Sorry. That's something she should have texted me about, but she called for some reason.
Okay,
I'm here. I texted you because he kicked me out, but then I got back.
Oh, okay, we're chilling.
Okay. Just edit it.
Culture.
Oh. Culture. Yeah. Do you have anything else to add?
No, not. It's all right. It's
all right. Okay. Kind of hit a wall.
Yeah. Well, now that's kind of our Premier League recap, quick little recap. slash talk about the Premier League. Well, Christian, I guess we'll, yeah.
One more thing. I think really quickly, Christian Pulisic, he did not start. He was a sub in Chelsea's match against Everton on the weekend. I don't remember how long he played for. It was like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Yeah. He was far better than Mason Mount and Kai Havertz from what I've seen. I didn't watch it. I haven't actually gone back and watched it, but from what I've seen, he is a lot better because both Havertz and Mount struggled to complete passes, and Pulisic actually figured out how to do that.
Sick.
So I think this further,
right spot for the US, further
enshrines what we think and what we have been saying, that Christian Pulisic is better than both of those two.
Yes, I agree. And I agree he should be getting more minutes, especially before the World Cup comes around. And it's looking bright for the U.S. men's national team players coming up to the World Cup. I believe that they're releasing jerseys this month at some point. It should be around this month, I heard.
They better.
I'm going to buy the jersey. That's all I know.
I thought for some reason, I think Adidas is announcing all of theirs by the end of the month. Nike is in September.
Nike, oh dang.
Plan.
Okay.
I think is the move.
Like because Argentina already announced theirs.
Argentina, all of like a couple of Adidas ones, like Mexico announced their home shirt. Like
Mexico's are ugly.
Mexico's are interesting. They're better than they have more culture. More culture yeah. than their purple ones or their pink and black ones, which I personally thought were kind of sick. So
yeah. For sure.
Where did it go? There have been some leaks. We know that the U.S. will be
blue and white.
Pretty boring.
I've seen the leaks. They don't look exciting at all. They look kind of dumb.
The pre-match shirt will be like tie-dye though, so you can just buy that.
Yeah, I'll see. But like, it's the World Cup. You want to buy like the jersey, you know what I mean? But if it is what the leaks show, it's pretty much just two jerseys that are the same thing, just different colors, and they're kind of ugly. They have the weird like collar thing like around above the nipples. I don't know. Like it's like a weird line. That's
just Nike's template this year.
Yeah,
that's just weird. What they're going for. You watch every single one of their kits they released this year. That's just the way it is.
I might as well just go and buy like one of their ones right now because I like their jerseys right now. I'm not gonna lie, especially the white ones.
Both of their jerseys right now are terrific.
Yeah, because you want something that like for the World Cup, you want something that's like memorable, like the bomb pop jerseys. Those are like amazing, like the red, white.
Those are like my favorite thing ever. Me too. I had a bomb pop in Philadelphia. I've never had a bomb pop.
Really? Was fun.
It was everything you would hope it to be.
Yay. Dubs. Anyways. I say we jumped into the MLS. So very quickly, I'm going to go through these standings since it's been a while since we've talked about it. Sitting top of the Supporters Shield race by 6 points is LAFC, which we'll go on a rant about that later. In the West, the other teams are Austin, Dallas, Minnesota, RSL, Nashville, and Portland, and then Seattle and LA. Seattle, LA, Colorado, Vancouver sitting right behind those spots. And then Houston, San Jose, and Sporting Kansas City clear out the bottom by 5 points. And then in the East, it's a little bit closer. We have Philly sitting at top still with NYC, New York City behind them. Montreal, New York, Red Bulls, Columbus, Cincinnati, and then Chicago has made a push. They're sitting at only 30 points and they're still in seventh place. Followed by Orlando. Followed by Orlando in 30, Inter Miami in 30, New England in 30, Charlotte in 29, Atlanta, at Toronto and DC. So I want to kind of go through before we go on the rant about super teams. I'm going to give you my hot take that I have for the rest of the season, and then you can give me a hot take. So my hot take is I think with Toronto FC, they got rid of like a bunch of people, brought a bunch of new people in, kind of like rebuilt their team.
under Bob Bradley, like completely, and they've started winning finally. I think that Toronto FC is going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to make a push in the playoffs, but I think they will make the playoffs. And I think that they'll probably finish in sixth or seventh or something like that, because right now they're only 4 points back of the play of a playoff spot, which is kind of insane. Granted, like taking how their season started, but the rest of the East just kind of plateaued and they're starting to kind of make their way up. So
I had said, maybe it was our last episode, it was maybe two, maybe our third one. After we filmed it the day after Seattle went there and just beat on them for 90 minutes. And I said, Toronto does not play enjoyable to watch. They are not good. There is not, my line was, there is not any redeeming factors about this team. This team has gotten dramatically better somewhat overnight. And I think that is, you know, first of all, good, because they were very bad before. And I think I agree with you. I think you're going to make a playoff push. You look right now, they are just 4 points outside the playoffs. They're behind, you know, there's some teams in the playoffs right now that I don't think are necessarily going to stay there. I don't think Chicago's going to stay there. Yeah. I personally don't think Columbus is going to end up there, because I think you're going to have either Atlanta or Toronto make a push. I think Charlotte could somehow still, you know,
I agree too.
Charlotte, I think, has a real chance at it. But I think Toronto is going to make the playoffs. But contrary to what you said, I think they can make a push. I think you can. We can really see them. If they're the sixth seed, that means they're going to play against. They're going to play against
NYCFC. No. They play Montreal. They play Montreal because Philly has a bye.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
If Montreal, it stays that way, because I could,
that
I
would least... be a fantastic match.
Yeah.
Again, I could definitely see them making a push. Right now, they're from fourth. They are, well, I guess 11 points. That's more dramatic than I thought it was. I think they can make a push, and I also think that they can like do something in the playoffs. I think they could win a match. This team is a lot better. I think that they have not even reached their peak yet with this lineup, and I just think they're quite a bit better than they were. They are enjoyable to watch now.
Fair enough. Yeah, my right now it's Philly, NYCFC, Montreal, New York Red Bulls. I think those four, I would say obviously they haven't secured their spot because there's still some time for them to plateau and go downhill, but I think those four teams pretty much, I think they are going to be the ones for sure in the East on the playoffs. And then those last three teams, I feel like it's going to switch in and out a lot throughout the season. And
I kind of agree with you, but I think I've become a big Cincinnati fan over the past weekend. They went in, they played a very, very good 90 minutes against Philadelphia. They won 3-1. Brandon Vasquez is, I think, by far MVP at the moment. There was an offer for like $500,000 from Chivas. That is a stupid offer. That's the dumbest offer to anybody, because like he could go to Europe for like five right now. I think that Cincinnati has an opportunity. They're 5 points outside of NY Red Bulls, and I think that they can do it. I think that they can close that gap. I think they can be fourth. I don't think Red Bulls really are going to. I think they might fall down a little bit, and I think you might see Cincinnati push.
I think they'll Cincinnati make the playoffs, but.
Has agreed. I think they're going to make playoffs, and I also think you're going to finally, after years of being in the wooden spoon position year after year, they can cook a whole banquet at this point with all their spoons. I think now they're finally just going to, you know, just be like, okay, whatever, we're just going to host a home playoff game now.
Yeah, fair enough. That is definitely, is that your hot take?
Cincinnati is going to host a home playoff game.
That's a very hot take. Indeed. I think that they have a very good shot at making the playoffs still, but I don't think they're secured quite yet. Obviously, with Brandon Vasquez having a fantastic season, I feel like they have a good chance. Moving over to the West, in my opinion, there's two teams that have secured a spot. That's LAFC and Austin. Those two teams are going to the playoffs. It's going to be hard to see them out. The rest of the teams, it's a fight. Like,
I don't see Houston, San Jose, or SKC making the playoffs. But
I can tell you which one of those three teams is especially not going to make the playoffs. It's Sporting Kansas City is by far the worst team in the league this year.
They did have a win, 3-1 win against the LA Galaxy this week.
Okay. So, well, my point still stands.
fair enough. I agree. But under Austin, there's Dallas, Minnesota, Salt Lake, Nashville, Portland, Seattle, Galaxy, Colorado, and Vancouver. And between third place in the West and 11th place in the West, it's just two game separation, 6 points, which is absolutely insane. And it's scary to be in the dead middle of that as a RSL fan and as a Seattle fan. So let's just talk about LAFC real quick. LAFC, obviously, this weekend comes into Salt Lake, gets a 4-1 win. I had more confidence than that, but at this point, I don't even know what to say about LAFC. Like, obviously, they're the clear favorites this year to win MLS Cup, right? They brought in Gareth Bell and Jorginho Chiellini. Chiellini, do you see his handball, by the way? That pissed me off.
That was really funny.
It was funny. It pissed me off, though. Because
what part of the game was that in?
Like, it was like the 70th, 75th minute. I don't know, something like that.
You guys still have a chance to win?
I don't. I think it was 3-1 at that point. So.
Oh, okay. So not really.
No, but it pissed me off because I agree with the red. It was not a red card. BC wasn't the last defender, no. Right? I don't know. It just pissed me off because I don't even know why. It just made me mad. But
it was not a Luis Suarez sort of handball. Like, yeah. I think it was genuinely just a like moment of he could have thought he heard the whistle. He could have thought. I just think, you know, it is what it is. I don't think it was on purpose. Well, it probably was on purpose, but like
I think
he wasn't purposely trying to delay the RSL attack. I think he might have just been screwing around because he was like grinning at the end of it.
Who knows? That's the thing. Also with LAFC, LAFC pretty much has two teams, right? That's what Brian Dunseth was saying on the broadcast with one of RSL's commentators. LAFC can bring a team like another probably 8 guys off the bench and replace 8 guys on the field, and they could compete. They'd probably still be top 4 in the West, right? It's stupid. Well, I don't,
especially because Gareth Bale has been starting off the bench,
and Gareth Bale's not a DP, and this window they are trying to bring in another DP, another player from Europe. I don't get how they have the money for that. What?
Chiellini, neither of them are DPs.
I don't understand that.
Like the Philadelphia GM where he's questioned about that in an interview and then got fined ferociously and got heckled by a couple of different guys on ESPN.
No, really I saw funny. That.
But I think he just – this team is
– how do they bring in that much talent? I don't know.
I would say I am a somewhat serious MLS fan, and I have very little understanding of how the roster rules work.
I do too. Like I so that all of the rules are so confusing.
I understand the three DPs, like that makes sense.
Yeah.
Beyond that, no clue.
Yeah. They recently brought like a U21 thing in or something, but I don't understand.
When Gareth Bale signed with LAFC, Miami got like $50,000 for discovery rights. Because they discovered him. They were the first team that we discovered him. Seattle would have gotten $50,000 if an MLS team would have signed Luis Suarez. Because they had discovery rights. Not because they were going to sign him at all. It was because they had discovery rights. Which,
what the heck?
I don't think Seattle was the first team in the world or in the MLS to discover the wonders that is Luis Suarez.
I don't think
Miami was the first team in the league to discover the wonders that is Gareth Bale, you know, the player who's been just cracking out goals and winning Champions League since the two of us were born. The MLS rules are just overly complicated. And this is something that I've heard people have conversations about, is if the league wants to expand, make it more simple. Like
make it easier for the fans to understand.
Absurd.
Exactly.
the fans, and I don't get it because I get why RSL, like, obviously there's a much smaller market. They're probably one of the smallest markets in the league, right? In Salt Lake, Utah. Like, what you look at, like, keep people from Europe. Yeah, Gareth Bale probably knows what Los Angeles is. He probably doesn't know what Salt Lake City is. You know what I mean? Which I get that. Or like, I don't get how they can bring in. Yeah, if Carlos Vela, Gareth Bale, who came off the bench, like, he didn't even start.
Every time.
I know, he hasn't even started yet. I don't understand that. I just don't understand how LAFC can get that much talent out and have that much money compared to everyone else in the league. I know that. I'm just hoping and waiting for something in a year or two down the road or something like that comes out saying that LAFC broke the rules and they get fined like a bunch of money.
Because I don't think they're going to get that. I think they're smarter than that. I think they're smarter than Inter Miami, who got fined however much they got fined because they broke the rule. I think they are, I think they genuinely, like, this, I think, is legal. I think that.
But why would Gareth Bale agree to that little money? I don't know.
I don't know. Personally, if I were him, I may have agreed to more money with Cardiff City. But he felt like, you know, coming over, playing some golf, talking some Spanish, and you know, more power to him.
Yeah, I just don't understand the whole thing and how they've become, like, because what pisses me off about the NBA, right, is the super teams and how there's become a bunch of different super teams in the NBA, and that's like all you try to do now. I don't want the MLS to become like that. I understand that, like, you want the big names to come to the MLS because correct, that's what gets people to come there, but I don't want them to all be loaded on LAFC because, or things like that. I don't know.
I still don't think this team's going to win the MLS Cup. I think that the MLS Cup is too fluky with it. I mean, it's not a fluke, but I think it's too, if this was a league-long format, if the supporter shield was the MLS Cup, yes, they're winning it all. But because of the playoffs, I don't think that they're going to survive the playoffs. I feel like they're going to slip up. They're probably going to clinch the number one seed, which then gives them less chances to slip up. But I think that at some point, they are probably going to slip up. Hopefully, that's in the conference final to Seattle. but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is confusing to me. The whole thing's confusing to a bunch of different people. I know that for a fact. And I just want to say this. You remember when Chiellini missed a shot and the whole world went crazy because he almost scored? Do you remember seeing that, right?
Like a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, it was a good shot, right? But he missed, like, from a little bit. Like, I don't care that he...
You know who else has had some great shots recently? You know who else has been very close to scoring a goal?
Who?
Knew who.
Oh, yeah. But yeah,
he was so close on Saturday. Like, I can't even tell you. He was inches away.
Almost like,
we can talk about that in a second. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, but like one of our players, Pablo Ruiz, he had a shot, right? I'm going to, like, show you with my finger how the ball went. Like, he shot it, right? It went, like, it curved this way and then went back out that way. It, like, hit the bottom part of the crossbar and bounced out. It was from 40 yards out, right? With his left foot. It was insane. It was a really good shot, right? I see nothing about that. If Gareth Bale would have taken that shot, or if Chiellini would have taken that shot, right? The whole world would be going crazy about how close
it was. Because he's Gareth Bale, and he has, he has the international reputation. And he has the international,
I get,
like,
that, but
if
you want to expand MLS, I feel like you have to show off other players besides the players that everyone knows. You know what I mean? And, like,
that's also what earns you the money and it earns you viewers.
Yeah, that's true.
Is having these players.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
the international market is huge. You don't hear, Seattle has never had, like, one big huge DP beyond, or, like, one big huge international DP. I'll say that. We did have Clint Dempsey. Go. I think that, like, David Beckham, he came in. He made LA Galaxy International. I don't even know. Zlatan, again, LA Galaxy International again. I think it's part of the ground. I think it's part of the way it happens.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
It's just annoying as a small market team to like not get any recognition. And like Bleacher Report, ESPN, everybody was posting Gareth Bell's goal that he scored against RSL, right? Like it was a good goal. But I went through the comments and obviously it wasn't the best defending. Justin Glad could have done better, right? But everyone was just saying, oh yeah, easy MLS defenders, easy blah blah blah, easy blah. Yeah, he's just walking over. This is a blocking. I'm like, but guaranteed, like every one of those people have not watched an MLS game. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah.
And they just watch Europe. And I it just kind of annoys me when they don't show other stuff. Like ESPN, if it was Brandon Vasquez who scored that goal, nothing, right? You know what I mean? And like he's in the MVP race. Like he should be being shown like stuff like I don't know. I just don't understand. Well, I guess I do understand it, but yeah.
I think here's what I'm gonna leave you with, and then we're gonna move on to talk about Seattle.
Okay.
I in Philadelphia had roomed with, you know, a random kid, right? They 72 of us each were rooming with someone from another part of the country. And this kid, it was from the Jacksonville area. And he used to play soccer, we got talking. And I asked him one night, you know, do you have a favorite team? Because my great wealth of European soccer knowledge, I love to use it. And he's like, oh yeah, my family watches the Premier League. And I think he's a Manchester United fan. His brother's like an Arsenal fan. His mom is a Everton, or I don't know. Anyway, point is, I'm not fully sure he knew what the MLS was or fully cared or fully, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that is why, I mean, there are so many American soccer fans who are just soccer fans of like Manchester United or Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Or I don't think there's a ton of US soccer fans that are fans of Bayern, just Bayern, but you know, they're out there. And I think that the MLS has to bring in players like this in order to, you know, achieve a reputation and even marketability within their own country. Because yeah. Gareth Bale is someone, you know, Champions League big worldwide, especially in the US. And having someone like Gareth Bale, who has had so much notoriety in the Champions League, coming to an MLS site, oh, I'm going to watch the MLS now. Now, I'm not saying I am in no way, shape, or form an LAFC fan. I have ranted about LAFC before. I don't like them. I like them better than Portland, but that's a low bar. I still am not fully sure. I've raised questions since the beginning. I don't know if this is legal. I don't know if they somehow found a loophole in the MLS contract rules. But like, I see the reason behind it, and it makes sense to me. Now, would I rather them not have Chiellini, and would I rather them not have Gareth Bale? Would I rather see them collapse? Yes, absolutely. But it's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
As long as it's legal. If it's not legal, then screw them.
Yeah, no, I understand how it's going to help MLS grow. I feel like if you want MLS to grow, you can use Gareth Bale to showcase others. You know what I mean? Like not other people
grow the one team, but grow the league as a whole, spread the wealth.
Exactly. Like if you see a Gareth Bale highlight, they'll be like, MLS or something, or like then maybe they'll go and watch other MLS highlights, or you emphasize other MLS highlights alongside the Gareth Bale. So then
I will say, okay, I will push your point a little bit. The MLS is majority focus on teams is specifically the two teams in LA,
yeah,
and the two teams in New York.
Yeah,
those are the ones who get the most marketability. Those are the ones who get the most press. They're the ones who get the most national TV coverage. And then you have teams like Seattle who have actually done a lot of the hard work, who have been, you know, I think personally, this is not even an objective statement, it's fact, but, you know, maybe someone will argue with me. I think that Seattle is the most successful team in MLS history because they have had sustained success for all 13 years of their existence, correct?
Yeah.
You agree with me on that part? Okay.
Yeah.
Seattle winning the CCL was not a surprise. Like that was not a shock. They put all of their eggs into the CCL basket from February on. And I think everybody knew from the start of the round of 16, Seattle had a really good shot at winning this.
Yeah. Right?
You get now to May, We won it May 4th, so I guess May 5th. MLS has no idea. They had nothing in place. If a team for they had nothing in place for like, you know, the champion badge. That was a big topic conversation around our banner raising against Portland on the 9th, on July 9th. Things about, you know, are we, how is this prize money going to be spread around players? Are we going to get a bigger GAM? And are we going to get a bigger salary cap because we won this competition? And then we have the Club World Cup coming up. MLS didn't worry about any of this. They never covered any of this. And this is something that I've seen pushed by Seattle media, and personally, I agree with it. If that was a team in New York or LA, the MLS league office would have been right on it.
Yes.
They would have figured it out. They would have said they had a plan in place and they would have done it.
Yep.
Seattle is not really a small market. What, they're like the 10th, 15th something largest market in the United States. Maybe even bigger than that. I don't know. I feel like the MLS just needs to do a better job of, like, even if it was Miami, because, you know, David Beckham, they've guaranteed him a franchise versus franchise. There's so many big names surrounding that franchise. You know, players aren't necessarily a little messy. Things, but beyond, I know. But I'm willing to bet you if it was one of the LA teams, I think that the LA teams and the New York teams are given special treatment at times
from
the MLS league office. So I don't necessarily disagree with you. Okay, let's move on now.
And in the power rankings. Anyways,
moving on. I have, you know, of course, made it clear I'm a big Seattle fan, big Seattle supporter. They're the only team of soccer merchandise I own. We've had some problems since we played the second. Since really, I made the statement that we're going to go and give LAFC a run for the
money. I remember that.
We haven't done a single thing. have you, is this going to be me having this conversation, or have you watched a lot of Seattle games?
I've watched some. I don't know. I watch some when I can.
Okay. Let me pull up the results that I need in order to do this rant. So Seattle is the only team in the MLS on the transfer window deadline that was last. Why is this? Oh, it's in the results section. It's not in the fixtures. That would be silly. Who's alrighty? Oh, and it's in reverse order. Since I made that statement, which was probably around
like 3 or 4 weeks ago, like 4 weeks ago,
probably around the Toronto win.
Yeah, it was
probably the weekend of the Toronto win. Which was following our loss to Montreal, which I was at, but I still, you know, have hope.
Yeah,
we have achieved 3 points in 6 points in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches. So out of a 21 possible points,
and 9 points in 9 matches.
That's not good. And you know, they have not even been like strong results. They've not even been close results. I mean, they have been a lot of one goal losses. They have been, I know. I'm going to be gone for that.
We play each other this week, bro.
Next weekend.
Anyways, continue.
We lost to Portland 3-0 in a game that I turned off with 15 minutes to go because I was annoyed. We lost to Nashville 1-0. We lost to Chicago 1-0. We came back. We beat Colorado 2-1, which is, you know, a very good win. We took LAFC to the brink, lost 2-1. We beat Dallas midweek 1-0. And then we lost to Atlanta on a last-second goal on Saturday 2-1. And this is a team that I have kind of just gotten annoyed watching because we lack – there has been so many times, the Chicago match, the Nashville match, against Portland for some of it, against LAFC we looked good, against Dallas we looked meh, and against Atlanta we looked good. Except for part of the match, Atlanta match, we were the best team. We were the better team.
Yeah.
But against Nashville, against Chicago, against LAFC for the majority of that match, against Portland, Seattle has just looked like a mess. There's been no organization in attack. They don't look like they know how this game's supposed to work. There's a lack of just good football being played.
Sacks not scoring.
You know, that I said, yeah, besides not scoring, I feel like Nuhu, there's all this, you know, attention on he is a really great player.
Yeah.
He is a starter for the Cameroon national team. He's going to be a starter at the World Cup in November, December. There's all this focus on, you know, he's going to get this goal. He's going to get this goal. He hasn't yet, which I really hope he does. But I saw something written by someone yesterday. It was like a Seattle reporter who was like, I feel like Nuhu is almost doing more to detract from this team than he is to add to it. Because yeah. he's a wing back, pretty much.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like getting the ball forward. He's playing a lot more forward. But because of that, there's a lot more pressure being put on the back line.
Yeah.
And they're having to make up. The team's forward, almost having to make up. He's not adding. He's taking away. And everybody else is having to kind of, you know, pile on to stop the gaps that he's making. And I think that was, you know, a bit maybe of a harsh thing to say.
But yeah.
I think it's somewhat true. I feel like this team, there's been so much pressure put on this group. And now we've kind of reached a point where we've struggled. We have struggled to do anything in attack. We have struggled to do anything. I mean, we've defended fine. But
it's not like you've been stomped.
Attacking emphasis.
Which
is something I think I saw a lot of in the Atlanta game. That was the best game we've played in a while. I just would have wished we would have made a move for someone, anyone at the deadline. And we didn't.
Yeah.
That's just my little rant about Seattle. Moving on. really quickly, let's talk about did we talk about Barcelona?
No, we have not mentioned Barcelona yet. I do not believe.
That's another club in shambles. Barcelona is trying to register 6 different players in 2 new contracts. Is that what it is?
But they played. Lewandowski played.
Yeah, okay. So
that's why I'm confused.
Okay. Do you want me to I figured it out. Would you like me to explain it?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Here's the thing. Barcelona made all of these big transfer moves to pick up literally everybody who Chelsea has ever come in contact with. And then a couple of random players, like, say, Robert Lewandowski. The problem you've seen in the news about them registering their contracts is a problem with La Liga. It is not a problem. They could go and file all of these players with UEFA, and all of these players could play in the Champions League tomorrow.
Yeah.
All of these players can play in all of these friendlies. It's La Liga who has the problem with it. So all of these players that they have been talking about cannot play in La Liga matches.
But
just like...
Or is it technically preseason still?
It's technically preseason still. La Liga doesn't start until next weekend. They played in Mexico yesterday, or maybe it was home. I don't know where it was. Somewhere against Pumas, and it absolutely obliterated the crap out of them.
Yeah.
But that's why they are able to play all of these players, because the problem with the financial rules of La Liga and not the financial rules with UEFA or anybody else. So all these players, I think, theoretically, could play in the domestic cup as well, but they just cannot play in the league matches, which is a bit of a problem when the majority of your matches in a season are the league matches.
Yeah.
The list, I can't find the list now because let me find it.
Are these players not going to be able to play the first few weeks then?
Well, that's the problem. They need to, the problem is they need to balance their budget because they do have $1 billion in debt. And if you would like me to show you how much $1 billion in debt is, I have a lot of countries debt. With $1 billion in debt.
Yeah, that's not very
like
good.
Like a lot of countries. I just say this is my favorite thing. I was doing this at 11:30 last night.
Seeing how much debt Barca has compared to actual legitimate countries. That's fine.
Legitimate countries,
bro. That's why Messi had to leave too, is because of
that's Barca's why Messi debt. Had to leave. Even though they're now apparently. negotiating with him to bring him back, which I think is a horrible idea for Barcelona. Personally, I mean, I'm a Messi fan. Yes,
I know. I'd want to see him at Barcelona,
they kind of don't have money to do it. If they don't have the money to register all these other contracts, they are having conversations about the fact that somehow Luke de Jong's contract is invalid. Barcelona doesn't know how to count. $1 billion in debt is the same number. Actually, I figured out they had like $1.3 billion in debt. Would you like me to show you how much that is?
Yes.
The country of Guinea-Bissau, our favorite country, well, not our favorite country, one of our favorite countries.
Yo.
Guinea-Bissau has
watching
less
that
money in
video
debt.
Tech.
I know, has less money in debt, has less debt owed than Barcelona does. The country Afghanistan has $1.28 billion in debt. Afghanistan is run by a terrorist organization.
Yeah, bro.
And they have less debt than Barcelona. The country of Belize has about the same amount of debt as Barcelona. It's absurd.
That's
how
insane.
Bad they are at this. They said that Laporta, the club president, said that they have figured it all out. It's all okay. We're out of the ICU. We're still on the mend, but we can do this.
Oh my gosh.
I don't understand. Like, they went on a spending spree in Europe. They didn't sell anybody, and
they just
brought everybody in.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
They brought, I'm trying to find, it's not loading, the list of people that they have just, like, brought in for funsies. The list is long.
Yeah.
Rafinha from Leeds, Jules Koundé from Sevilla for 55 million. Rafinha was 63.8 million. Lewandowski, that was 49.5 million.
Oh my gosh.
You still have to.
You're making your team better.
but like,
you're not going to be able to play them.
They've spent $143 million on transfers this year.
It's like,
and not only then do they have to bring all of those people in and pay that pay that amount to bring them in, also then have to pay a monthly wage.
That's like
for not only these 11 players that they've brought in this year, but also the players that they already have and already were having troubles paying. It's not that hard, guys. Like,
that's like
you have the amount of money you can spend, and you just don't go over.
Yeah. That's like you start your own business, right? You go buy a warehouse, you decorate everything in the warehouse, make the warehouse super nice, but you don't sell any of your products. So you just bought everything to make your way. And you just keep making your warehouse.
And you just keep spending money and money and money. And yet now you have no money.
And then you're in debt.
People, and you're being told by the IRS, well, you have to still pay this amount. You have to still do this thing.
But
well,
you can't pay any of it.
I don't have any money to do it.
But you haven't sold anything. Yeah.
It's mind-boggling how bad they are.
Like we, as high schoolers, we understand how.
I can balance a better budget than Barcelona can. I'm 16, and my biggest balancing budget is like my own bank account.
Yeah, bro.
It's horrifying how bad they are at this. How they just go and spend and spend and spend. It's like talking to a trigger happy toddler. I want that toy. I want that toy. I want that.
Yeah.
You have no money. You have no money. And La Liga is stepping in saying you have to figure out how to find more money in order to fuel this spending habit.
So they're going to have to sell players.
Or figure out a way to pull off $100 million from someone. Because, like, they've talked about how
they're everyone's contracts or something.
I don't understand their thing with their TV revenue that they're sending somewhere else so they have a bigger budget. They have something about, you know, the whole Spotify deal that brings in money. They still don't have enough money.
Yeah.
To pay the wages that they already have. That's the other thing that they're having.
That's insane.
So
like they were in, they were in, De Jong. Yeah. They were in debt before they brought all these other players in.
They don't even have the money to pay the contracts of the players that they currently have, that they had last summer.
Yeah.
Much less.
And as a player.
The players they have brought in for hundreds of millions of dollars now.
Yeah.
And as a player, like, that's not appealing. Not knowing if you're going to get your money. Yeah.
Like, you look at, I mean, Frankie de Jong has had the problems. They have, they want him to, what they told him, this came out like 7 hours ago, Barcelona have told Frankie de Jong that they want him to revert back to his previous contract because they have evidence of criminality around his renewal by the club's former board, and they're going to threaten legal action because they need money to pay the, like,
it's bad.
It's bad. And now they're just like, yeah, let's bring Leo back. Let's throw him out there. Let's try and win ourselves a trophy. It doesn't matter how many trophies you win. You're still going to be $1 billion in debt.
Yeah. I don't understand how you can be that stupid with money. Yeah. I saw that. Frankie Young contract annulled due to criminality behind agreement. Like,
correct.
So wait, these players haven't done anything wrong. It's just the club is trying to get money from them.
I think they're spending money.
Oh my gosh.
They complain about how they don't have money to pay the contracts they already have. So then they make people take wage cuts, but then they go and they spend more money. It's like somebody complaining about how they don't have enough money, but yet they're still spending millions of dollars on literally anything. It's random stuff. That's abysmal.
Barcelona accused of inflating TV rights sale by $150 million. And they're they're trying to fight La Liga about it too. But like, what's La Liga going to do to help them? This is their own fault.
I don't know. Are they expecting special treatment because of Barcelona? And this is coming, like, I'm a Barcelona fanboy. I love them. But figure out how money works. You can't just keep spending. At some point, it runs out.
Facts. I don't understand what.
Okay. I don't even know.
There's our rant about
a couple of other leagues. There's another rant. This has just been like rant after rant, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Two other major European leagues started this weekend: the Bundesliga and Ligue 1 over in France. Both of which are already finished. The title races are done and dusted. After week one, Bayern won 6-1 against Eintracht Frankfurt, the winners of the Europa League last year, and PSG won. Who was it? 5-0 against Clermont Foot, off the back of like 70 Neymar assists and a goal from Neymar and a hat trick from Lionel Messi.
Tubbs, his bicycle kick.
His bicycle kick. It really wasn't that.
That's what I was about to say. Everyone was going crazy,
but it wasn't that. Mid cool. At that.
I could have scored that.
So the Bundesliga, love it. They need to figure out how to have more teams win more games. And
besides Bayern, Dortmund.
PSG. Dortmund.
PSG already won the league.
PSG have already won the league. And now all their focus can be on Champions League. Do you think we have not that long left? Do you think PSG has the ability to win the Champions League this year?
I think that they have the talent. I think that they can. I don't think they will. I don't think they can get past.
I agree with you.
I don't think they're a Champions League team. Like, you know what I mean? They're not built for the champ. I don't know. It's just, I feel like it's almost harder for them because they don't play that good of teams until the Champions League. And
correct.
So, like, by the time they reach the Champions League, then they're like, kick in the face, like, oh, we actually have to try now.
I want to do a Champions League once the groups come out, whatever that is.
Okay.
I think we should make a preview of that. That and okay. At some point we need to do a World Cup group preview.
We can do that. It's November's a ways away, so.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay. One last thing before we call it a day. Zach Steffen had himself a day at
Middlesbrough.
For Middlesbrough. Sorry, I'm trying to find his profile so that I can get this stat right, and it's taking a day and a half. He allowed a goal from the corner, which is certain off a corner, like from the corner. Which is certainly not ideal at all. Do you think Zach Steffen, you watched the goal, it was bad. In Middlesbrough so far, he has played in 2 matches. He's allowed 4 goals, including three against QPR away this past weekend. He allowed 1 against West Brom, both of which he started, both of which he played all 90 minutes in the first 2 matches of the championship for Middlesbrough. Do you think he has, is he still, in the fight with Matt Turner for the number one position?
If he can actually have consistency at Middlesbrough, then I think yes, he is. But if the World Cup were to start tomorrow, no, I think he would still be second string behind, or even third string maybe. But I don't think he would be starting at all during or any World Cup games if the World Cup were to start tomorrow.
I agree. I don't even think, I still stand by my thing of saying he's not even on the plane.
I think he's like, on the plane because I think
that's harsh. I personally think Stephen Fry should still be ahead of him. But I, to each their own. He's played 180 minutes. He's allowed 4 goals, and he just has not looked good.
Great, like, yeah.
He's lacking a lot.
I think as the season goes, he'll find some more consistency because he had no consistency at Man City. So I think it will be better. So I guess we'll just kind of have to wait and see. Maybe ask me the same question like 4 games down the line, and we'll see how he's doing then.
Okay. I think that's valid. Alrighty. I'm out of things. I think I'm done.
I think that will do it today for our podcast. So thank you guys all for listening, and we will hopefully get one out to you next week.